You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir. And with us now in the studio is Mark Utswals from ADM Investor Services. Mark, good to have you with us today. Now, we're going to start with the retail figures that were quite disappointing and out today. So what do you make of them?
Well, if you could dismiss the December data as being perhaps a reaction to the previous month's strength, this one is actually very difficult to dismiss. And the key thing always with the retail sales data at this time of the year is not to look at the 1 month change because it's extraordinarily volatile, but look at the 3 month on 3 month change. And we've dipped into the negative territory for the first time in a very, very long time, -0.4%. If it hadn't been for the boost from the cuts in clothing prices that we'd already reported on in the CPI data, they would have been even worse. Alarmingly, as much as this probably to a lot of people still sounds quite strong, internet sales are down to just 2.7% on a three-month rate. Now, that may sound respectable, but your problem is it's actually been running in the 5 to 8% area for a very, very long time. So there's clearly some headwinds there. And as the ONS pointed out, there's definitely been an impact from higher food prices, definitely for an impact from higher fuel prices, which depress gasoline sales. But I think the other factor is that we've had this rapid accumulation of unsecured credit running at 10 to 11%. And you're now in a situation where people are faced with rising non-discretionary costs, food, fuel. We've got council taxes, utility price hikes coming up. You've got other people's goods prices going up also quite rapidly. Microsoft announced that they were putting up the price of their tablets by about 10 to 15%. And suddenly that, you know, they're just what Mrs. May calls the jams, just about managing, looks like they're not really managing at all. So we're going to have to watch this one very, very closely because in terms of sterling, it's not great news to be in a situation where you've got not an inflation problem, but certainly inflation running at a much higher rate. You've got negative average weekly earnings in real terms and the economy slowing, and then all the uncertainties associated with the Brexit process. So rather disturbing.
Are you sure that some people aren't being, I think the word was Brexploitation, that companies like Microsoft are just saying, all right, we're just going to hike now because the pound dollar is 15% down. But most of the costs to them are not going to be, I mean, it's a rip-off, isn't it?
Oh, to a certain extent, yes. But they're not going to,
they don't reduce prices.
I think the key point here is that margins have been under pressure for so long that actually that presents that excuse. As you say, their actual costs probably haven't changed that much. However, given the pressure on margins that there's been, particularly in the IT sector, hardware sector, any excuse will be used to try and regain some pricing power. It's not an enormous amount.
Isn't it good in the way that people are just saying, well, actually, we're not buying? I'm not going to buy a computer now for the next 3 years because
I hope it's that way. I'm not sure that it is.
I think
it's the fact that we've actually still got real average weekly earnings about 7% below where they were in 2007, and it's not really much prospect of wages going up this year. And you've got gradually some of the sort of excesses, which are all domestic. They're not to do with Brexit, really, outside of these rising prices due to the weaker pound.
So it's not a good time for the jams, especially considering, everything else that's happening.
Precisely.
Okay, so you wanted to also talk about the bond market.
Yes. I mean, if you looked at the run of US data that we've had this week and the way that the Fed's been pitching its policy outlook. Okay, on the Fed policy outlook, one can certainly say that markets have a great justification for being very sceptical about the Fed saying, we're going to do 3 rate hikes this year. And they go back to them and say, yeah, but you said that last year and you said it the year before. However, when you then put it in the context of we have got inflation now at 2.6% year on year in the States, you've got retail sales running at a very healthy rate, you've got GDP, you've got manufacturing output data, as much as the industrial production data fell, that was basically lower utilities output, running at a healthy rate, mining output is starting to improve. So you're in this situation where you're saying, well, yeah, actually, this year, they may well live up to their promise of 3 rate hikes. So why is the bond market not moving? Because the 10-year yield in the States, in amongst all of that, is basically roughly where we started the week. And I think there's about four factors there. First of all, US Treasuries have a huge premium over all the other G7 government bond yields. So you've got 1.3 here in the UK, you've got 0.3 in Germany, in Japan, 0.1. So anytime you start pushing it up, it's a natural, you know, there's a natural tendency to go and buy it. Secondly, you've got all this sort of uncertainty surrounding the eurozone. Do you want to own euros, or would you rather own dollars and also own a lot more yield as a result? Well, yes, obviously, it's not difficult. I know it's an overcrowded trade, but in that situation, are you going to be saying, well, I think this has gone too far? Or are you going to be saying, you know, I can sit on the sidelines as far as buying euros, but I do want to be long dollars? So that also ups the support for US Treasuries despite the economic data. And then you've got this other factor, and this is probably the most important one. There's no liquidity in the market because of regulation. And this is why it's going to be really, really important that Mr. Trump starts to roll back some of the Dodd-Frank things. Because at the moment, a lot of the liquidity is getting jammed up in the repo market because it's sucking ever more stuff in because banks aren't allowed to take on as much risk as they were by a long, long chalk. And that, basically, the more liquidity you take out of the market, the less incentive there is for a more speculative trader to go and short it, because he knows he's basically fighting buyers who are there, who are forced buyers because they need the collateral for the repo market. So it is a series of factors there which are contriving to make this very peculiar. Nevertheless, I think the risk then is if we do start to roll back some of the Dodd-Frank requirements and banks free up a lot of capital, and the repo market starts to free up some capital, there is a gap risk, because suddenly you've changed the game. You know, and you've got this special factor in there which is depressing yields, suddenly not there. And people say, well, if that's the case, if we can actually start to have some market reaction function then these yields are the wrong levels, because, you know, when I've said, you know, you've got inflation running at that level, you've got growth running at a healthy level, and we've got minus 0.1% 10-year real yields. What's the justification for that, unless there are special factors? You wouldn't normally have that.
Mark, thank you. Mark Oswald's there from ADM Investor Services.